The throng jostled around me, spinning me the wrong direction. I was glad the clock was so visible, or I'd never keep my course straight. But both hands on the clock pointed up toward the pitiless sun, and though I shoved viciously against the crowd, I knew I was too late. I wasn't halfway across. I wasn't going to make it. I was stupid and slow and human, and we were all going to die because of it. I hoped Alice would get out. I hoped that she would see me from some dark shadow and know that I had failed, so she could go home to Jasper. I listened above the angry exclamations, trying to hear the sound of discovery, the gasp, maybe the scream, as Edward came into someone's view. But there was a break in the crowd. I could see a bubble of space ahead. I pushed urgently toward it, not realizing till I bruised my shins against the bricks that there was a wide, square fountain set into the center of the plaza. I was nearly crying with relief as I flung my leg over the edge and ran through the knee-deep water. It sprayed all around me as I thrashed my way across the pool. Even in the sun, the wind was glacial and the wet made the cold actually painful. But the fountain was very wide. It let me cross the center of the square and then some in mere seconds. I didn't pause when I hit the far edge. I used the low wall as a springboard, throwing myself into the crowd. They moved more readily for me now, avoiding the icy water that splattered from my dripping clothes as I ran. I glanced up at the clock again. A deep, booming chime echoed through the square. It throbbed in the stones under my feet. Children cried, covering their ears, and I started screaming as I ran. "Edward!" I screamed, knowing it was useless. The crowd was too loud, and my voice was breathless with exertion, but I couldn't stop screaming. The clock tolled again. I ran past a child in his mother's arms. His hair was almost white in the dazzling sunlight. A circle of tall men, all wearing red blazers, called out warnings as I barreled through them. The clock tolled again. On the other side of the men in blazers, there was a break in the throng, space between the sightseers who milled aimlessly around me. My eyes searched the dark, narrow passage to the right of the wide, square edifice under the tower. I couldn't see the street level. There were still too many people in the way. The clock tolled again. It was hard to see now. Without the crowd to break the wind, it whipped at my face and burned my eyes. I couldn't be sure if that was the reason behind my tears, or if I was crying in defeat as the clock tolled again. A little family of four stood nearest to the alley's mouth. The two girls wore crimson dresses, with matching ribbons tying their dark hair back. The father wasn't tall. It seemed like I could see something bright in the shadows, just over his shoulder. I hurtled toward them, trying to see past the stinging tears. The clock tolled, and the littlest girl clamped her hands over her ears. The older girl, just waist high on her mother, hugged her mother's leg and stared into the shadows behind them. As I watched, she tugged on her mother's elbow and pointed toward the darkness. The clock tolled, and I was so close now. I was close enough to hear her high-pitched voice. Her father stared at me in surprise as I bore down on them, rasping out Edward's name over and over again. The older girl giggled and said something to her mother, gesturing toward the shadows again impatiently. I swerved around the father, he clutched the baby out of my way, and sprinted for the gloomy breach behind them as the clock tolled over my head. "Edward, no!" I screamed, but my voice was lost in the roar of the chime. I could see him now, and I could see that he could not see me. It was really him, no hallucination this time, and I realized that my delusions were more flawed than I'd realized. They'd never done him justice. Edward stood, motionless as a statue, just a few feet from the mouth of the alley. His eyes were closed, the rings underneath them deep purple. His arms relaxed at his sides, his palms turned forward. His expression was very peaceful, like he was dreaming pleasant things. The marble skin of his chest was bare. There was a small pile of white fabric at his feet. The light reflecting from the pavement of the square gleamed dimly from his skin. I'd never seen anything more beautiful. Even as I ran, gasping and screaming, I could appreciate that. And the last 7 months meant nothing. And his words in the forest meant nothing. And it did not matter if he did not want me. I would never want anything but him, no matter how long I lived. The clock tolled, and he took a large stride toward the light. No! I screamed. Edward, look at me! He wasn't listening. He smiled very slightly. He raised his foot to take the step that would put him directly in the path of the sun. I slammed into him so hard that the force would have hurled me to the ground if his arms hadn't caught me and held me up. It knocked my breath out of me and snapped my head back. His dark eyes opened slowly as the clock tolled again.